As you know, this is an off year for bonding. Normally, we would be thinking about $120 million. But in talking to a number of people from the Senate, I think they're a little bit on the same page I am that we should do a little more than that this year. But that the whatever we do, nearly all of it should be spent this coming year. Because we have to anticipate that the bottom of the recession will be spring, summer, and fall, and hopefully be starting up after that. The number I've been thinking about, and I think the House is pretty much on target as well, is $300 million, with about half of it going for asset preservation. Those of you who have followed it in the past probably realize that we start out fairly high with asset preservation, and they call it HEPR in the higher education. And each step of the way, it gets squeezed down as the projects are more popular than the repairs. So this year, one of the reasons I wanted to do the asset preservation is that I think that has been squeezed too much in the past, but also the fact that they're small projects and can be done very quickly. I was talking to somebody at Morehead State, and they said when it comes to their HEPR projects, they hire small contractors from the area. We've got, in Minsku, we got 53, 54 campuses, and if you get a certain amount of money spent all over the state of Minnesota, I think it's probably going to do more than anything else to put people to work and kind of spread it around the state. So I'm thinking, you know, in terms of about half of the $300 million for asset preservation, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Many of you get this 50-state comparison by the Tax Foundation. When it comes to debt per capita, Minnesota ranks 43rd in the United States. This includes all of the debt, not just the GO, but the trunk highway and everything. And we're 43rd. Now, I like being low, but we don't have to be 43rd. We can be 40th or 38th. So I think we have been very, very conservative as far as our bonding and our debt is concerned. But we will start off with the University of Minnesota. And in talking to them, I said about $35 million for the university. It sounded like that's what they could get going with right away. And then Minsky was $50 million. And both myself and Representative Hausman are tossing a bill in with those two figures, $50 million and $35 million. And, of course, the Higher Education Committee will be coming with recommendations, but I would assume it's about on that target. So we will start with the University of Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, before we begin, I just wanted to thank you. You've been such a strong supporter of the University of Minsku in the bonding bill, and you really get it how important these HEPR projects are. And I've always felt that, and I think you agree, that during the non-traditional bonding year, when we don't usually look at those big projects, is a really good year to try to get those HEPR projects. So I really appreciate your strong support.
Okay. The university.
Mr. Chairman and Senators, I'm Kathleen O'Brien, Vice President for University Services at the University of Minnesota, and we're very appreciative to have the opportunity to present the University of Minnesota's 2009 capital request to you today. With me today is Vice President Richard Fitzenreiter, Vice President for Finance at the University, and also Regent Patricia Simmons, the Chair of the Board of Regents, representing the 1st Congressional District, Regent Steve Hunter at large Regent Representative, and Regent John Frobenius from the 6th Congressional District has been with us and will be back for the rest of the presentation. We've distributed a presentation to you that you might want to follow along with. The second page really outlines the principles that have been adopted by the Board of Regents that guide our capital planning process. First and foremost, our capital projects align and advance our academic priorities. Secondly, we really are considering how do we take care of what we have, how do we do that in a way that is sustainable? How do we ensure that we're securing the financial position both of the state and the university and leveraging private funding? The university has facilities throughout the state of Minnesota, more than 800 buildings and 28 million gross square feet of space. This is a very large, complex, and old set of buildings. 70% of the buildings are at least 30 years old. We know when your home gets over 30 years old, you need to start doing things like replacing roofs and furnaces and major systems. On the Twin Cities campus alone, we inspect 7 to 8 million square feet of space annually. This inspection is captured in the facility's condition assessment, an annually updated database of campus buildings and conditions. Similar inspections are conducted on all of our holdings throughout the state. To replace all the buildings throughout the university, it's estimated that it will cost $7 billion. This year's capital request contains two items, as Chair Langseth has stated, our HEPA request and the Bell Museum of Natural History. HEPA, as you know, is a category of state capital improvement funds requested by the university to take care of our existing facilities. By statute, the funds are spent on projects in three broad categories: health and safety, building systems, and utility infrastructure. The Twin Cities portion of the HEPA request, we're focusing on energy and utilities projects that support the university's energy and utilities principles. And we really have been guided by these principles over the last 7 years. They are reliability, environmental stewardship, and cost control. On frame six, you'll see a summary of what our HEPA requests are by category to give you a sense. In Duluth, we'll be working on several roofs and building exteriors at Crookston, a project in their University Technology and Outreach Center to comply with some environmental orders at Morris, utility meter replacements and a variety of tuck pointing and exterior envelope improvements at our research and outreach centers, HVAC systems, lighting, and insulation projects, and at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities project, Twin Cities campus, three large energy efficiency improvement projects, one for steam pipe replacement that's ready to bid, the second for the St. Paul Chill Water Project. It's the third portion of this project. It's an expansion of a project underway and literally ready to go and continued. And the third is building recommissioning, which would be working on individual buildings identified through energy audits and really improving their energy efficiency. These are larger projects, bid ready, and they address energy conservation. So they're not only going to be getting the money you would give the university out into the economy immediately, but they also would be providing savings to the university. I think that the senators recall that our HEPA list is prioritized and reprioritized annually. So these projects have really come up through our planning process. They're here because they are priorities. They are ready to go. They're based on our facility condition assessment, code deficiencies, and of course we're responding to issues that come forward all of the time. The second part of their request is the Bell Museum. As you know, this was approved by the House and Senate last year and included in the state capital bonding bill, but unfortunately it was vetoed. The Bell is more than a traditional museum. It is home to innovative programming and critical resources that provide material support for more than 50 university courses, increase the public's understanding of natural history, and the youth research and outreach missions. The Bell has 130,000 visitors annually, including 20,000 teachers and students. The Bell tackles issues of critical importance to Minnesota and its citizens, climate change and the environment, natural resource management, energy, and sustainability. It collaborates with local organizations on hundreds of programs and has relationships with distinguished national institutions such as the Chicago Field Museum, Cornell's Ornithology Lab, and the World Wildlife Fund. On frame 8, you'll see a diagram of the Bell site. The new Bell Museum will be 71,000 square feet, located on a 13-acre parcel on the southwest corner of Larpenteur and Cleveland Avenue in St. Paul, close to the State Fair in the St. Paul campus. It will have two phases of construction. This request is really for the first phase, which includes the museum building on the north site with parking and landscaping, the exhibits in the museum building, and grading of the south area. Phase two would include the landscaping and outdoor exhibits for the site. The southern portion of the site would be devoted to outdoor exhibits representing Minnesota's four biomes, the coniferous forest, hardwood forest, oak savanna, and prairie. The project has been updated to account for a year of construction inflation. And now I'll turn it over to my colleague, Vice President Fitzenreiser.
Mr. Chairman, members, if you turn to slide 9, I can. What this slide is designed to do is show you what we estimate the cash flow out of the university to these projects once the legislature's authorized them. You'll notice the start date of June 09. If you pass a bonding bill quicker, we'll spend the money quicker. That doesn't represent the date we bid it. It's the date we start spending money. We would expect, you can see if you have color copy, the maroon is the heaper projects. We ramp up and go quicker on those than compared to the Bell. But 65% of the money between Bell and the heaper projects would be spent in the next 12 months. And, of course, the big remaining part is the Bell Museum. It's a larger project, single project, and they tend to take 2 to 3 years to spend. But we would have all this money, $74.5 million, which represents the $35 of heaper, $39.5 million spent within the current upcoming biennium within 2 years. But this gives you a sense that about 65% of it will actually be out the door paying bills in the next 12 months. The next slide, 10, is simply a status report on our heaper spending. And as you can see, we've totally spent and encumbered the 05 money, nearly all of the 06, and a substantial portion of the almost 80% of the 08 heaper is spent or encumbered. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll just stop for questions.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Fitzenreiter, so the 2008 HEPRA money, the rest of that, the 23% or whatever is left of that, will that be spent then in 09?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, those are projects that are really ready to go in the summer when school is completed. So, yes.
Any further comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's been my understanding for a number of years that you've had about $100 million worth of HEPR projects that needed funding. And I guess I was hoping that maybe that would be the area that we would address first and foremost. But you're just saying that you can't get that many in the queue that quickly, or why wouldn't we go for a larger amount of HEPR projects?
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, it is correct that the university at any given time has actually well over $100 million in the queue. And on any given day, if we have a burst water main or an ice storm, that might even increase the queue. The projects that we brought forward in this particular request are projects that are ready to go immediately. We have another $35 million in projects that we believe would be ready to go forward this summer. We really structured our request around the Bell and the HEPA request of $35 million based on the understanding of what a state bill, the size of a state bill. But we have about $70 million worth of projects that are actually ready to go right now.
number? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is probably for Mr. Fitzenreiter. How many jobs will this create? In other words, if we go forward with your request, can you give us a number? Do you have a rule of thumb or a measurement that you guys typically use? But if we're looking at this as creating jobs and helping the economy, it would be nice to have a number.
Mr. Chairman, members, the figures I've heard typically from folks is about 100,000 creates one job.
At the U?
No, I mean in the private sector, working on these projects.
So do the math for me, Mr. Fitzgerald.
350 jobs, and you're talking about with HEPR.
With HEPR. And a similar number with the Bell, because the Bell, Mr. Chairman, is $39.5 million.
Mr. Chair?
Direct on the site, Mr. Chairman, there's always ripples.
Mr. Chair, that really is an order of magnitude figure, because different jobs, of course, would require different kinds of trade skills and different numbers of individuals. I will report that the project that you funded, the university's football stadium, is now does now have 600 to 700 people on the site every day. So thank you for keeping Minnesotans working.
Any further comments?
Six to 700.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure who to direct this to, but how does the federal economic stimulus dollars play into our bonding package?
Well, we don't know for sure yet. At one time, higher education looked like they were going to come up with quite a bit there, but I guess that got zeroed out, didn't it? So there isn't a possibility there, right?
Mr. Chairman, no expert on that confusing stabilization bill, but the part of the stabilization for states that comes to the states, the money could be spent for either operations or, my understanding is, capital improvements.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
I think the flexible education money is $148 million, but that could be spent on K-12 as well for construction. It's flexible. Or anything else, I think. But we have a big hole to fill.
Mr. Chair, and I'm thinking that, you know, I have been hoping for years that we could clean up some of that HEPR amount. You know, it's been so high for so many years, and I'm thinking that if we were to get some of that money, if K-12 doesn't use it all for higher ed, that should probably be our focus, and especially focusing, and I think the intention was to focus on energy efficiency in to a great extent. And, you know, even to find projects that are more labor-intense, for example, if old brick buildings need tuck pointing, that's very labor-intense. It doesn't have a high material cost, but you have to think of things that are going to put more people to work quicker. I'm hoping that maybe the university will be focusing more on that rather than a new project like the Bell Museum, which, even though it's a very nice project in this time, in this day, it's more of a want than a need. And so I am hoping we could look for other areas that we would invest in, perhaps.
Okay. But keep communication coming as far as what you can possibly get out of the federal, because that will play into all this. But I'm sure you could throw many millions on top of what we're talking about and still get most of it done this next year. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, I could save this for higher ed, but I would be curious in knowing why you did choose to go ahead with the Bell Museum instead of requesting all HEPR. And last year, is that one of the projects the governor vetoed? Ford Museum?
Mr. Chairman, members, the Bell Museum was authorized last year, vetoed by the governor, and it is a high priority of the president to get this project completed. It's ready to go. substantial amount of fundraising has occurred for the project, and he would like to get it completed.
What's the total cost? Was that the total cost of the Bell Museum?
Mr. Chairman, $39.5 million, with the university paying for one-third of that. So the state's contribution.
Yeah, but you said private contribution.
We have raised a substantial part of our one-third, the 13,
through
private sources.
Okay. Sure. Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, and this appears to be an ideal time to be building also, based on the fact that products are considerably cheaper than they have been in the past. Have you factored that into the cost of the Bell Museum? Have you found some economies of scale, saving some money on some of the product that you might be able to purchase?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tomasoni, the university has not experienced a downturn in costs at this point, although we're hopeful we will as we go to market on projects this summer. Right now, if you think of a construction project, you really have materials, labor, and then the project management and administrative costs. Some materials, such as concrete, are not experiencing a downturn. Some, like steel, are. Labor costs are estimated, based on current labor contracts, to increase 2 to 4% this year. And, of course, we believe, because of the competition in the market, we might get some savings in the in the administration and construction management of the project. So while we have seen a downturn in the market on some of the materials, it might not impact these projects as much as we might expect.
Mr. Chairman.
I guess we better move on. We've got large agendas. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll mince you and concentrate mainly on keeper. There were some vetoed projects from last year, too, that they've requested, but I guess the HEPA is the one main thing we want to hear about today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Alan Johnson from Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. You should have three pieces of paper at your place. I'll be following this, this slide presentation. And in addition to that, we have a one-page handout that summarizes our projects as well as the HEPR. And then you should also have our detailed HEPR list in your packet that adds up to $50 million and shows the campuses and the projects. So with that, I'd like to start by using this slide packet and walk us through the process here. First of all, on slide number two, of course, you see our campus locations. There are 54 now that are located throughout the state and 100, and we also deliver programs in a total of 100 locations in lease spaces as well, but touch on 47 communities around the state. 390,000 students, both credit and non-credit, so you can see that any of our HEPA work touches virtually every corner of the state. On slide three, I wanted to show you that although the economy is ill, our enrollment is very healthy, and this is typical of this type of a economic climate. When things get bad, enrollment goes up. And so, you know, we see a rising graph, and we expect, and we are seeing more students seeking our institutions. Slide number four, let me say thank you to everyone here for our 2008 bonding bill. Work is well underway. We certainly appreciate that. Recall that it was $234 million that was finally enacted. We have over 50% of that, $120 million from 08, $120 million under contract and work underway, delivering jobs right now. Through the end of this calendar year, through December of 09, another $110 million will go under contract. We are taking bids in February, March, and April. This is all based on bond sales that have taken place, and that includes both HEPR as well as major projects. And so by the end of this calendar year, almost 99% of the 2008 bill will be under contract. almost 99% of that bill under contract. And you can hold me to that when I come back next year. I suspect you will.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for interrupting your presentation. I wanted to kind of go back to the enrollment thing. I don't serve on Senator Pappas's higher ed committee, and I've just come from a meeting with some financial institutions and about something entirely different, but the comment was made that the students were having trouble getting loans and maybe enrollment was being affected by that. Is that because of the credit markets drying up? Can you just say just briefly, and I don't want to sidetrack you, I'm sorry, but I didn't have another opportunity to ask it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scheid, I don't know the answer to that question. It's kind of an unknown situation right now with what's going on, but clearly we see folks coming in and coming back.
Thanks.
And so I was on slide 4 saying that we would complete the 08 bill by the end of this year. Looking to 09, looking to 2009 on slide number 5, we want to give you some choices here. And these are projects that we put together that can put people to work this year. First of all, of course, asset preservation at $50 million. We also have some capital projects, some that were vetoed in 08. And we have some other projects that you partially funded in 08. We wanted to show you that these are ready to go should you choose to do that sort of an approach. I believe at our total request of $117 million, if you were able to do that, that would represent about 1,500 construction and related jobs that could be impacted this year. Everything on this slide, $117 million, can be bid within 30 to 120 days of funding. So within this calendar year, 30 to 120 days. On slide 6, we get into a little bit more detail on our HEPA request, major building repairs and renewal. It takes care of the buildings that have been entrusted to us. We have historically asked for $110 million per biennium, and that's been our goal to reduce our backlog over a period of time. Our current documented backlog is now almost $700 million across those 54 campuses. And we target HEPA to spread around the state to specific building systems. That might be a roof, it might be replacement of windows, it might be tuck pointing, could be a variety of things. Once again, in 08, $55 million was funded for HEPA. And over half of that, $25 million, is now under contract, and people are working specifically on HEPA projects. Slide 7 gives you an idea of the way we allocate our HEPA funds. First, we look to the college and university for their priorities. We seek the president's priority at each location. The mantra that we use is keep our students, faculty, staff, and visitors warm, safe, and dry in our buildings. And that involves roof replacements, repairs to building exteriors, replacement of window frames and windows and doors, heating and cooling and plumbing replacements, and so on. Elevator code upgrades that have been mandated through the code system, and promoting energy efficiency. Something different this year, though, something different that we've done for 09 is that we have targeted our HEPA request, our HEPA projects, to fast execution. And to do so, out of the $50 million, I believe that we can have $40 million of that, or 80%, under contract by the end of this year. That's the intent of our HEPA list this year. Fast execution, touch on every college and university around the state. Slide 8 gives you an idea of what those projects look like in terms of exterior renewal, roof replacements, code compliance, etc. Now, in addition to the asset preservation, just a quick glimpse at those projects that are available. These are the 5 that were vetoed in 2008. North Hennepin Community College, classroom renovations at 7 campuses, Lake Superior College for a health science addition. On slide 10, Metro State University, a classroom center building, and at Mesabi Range, a Neveleth, a shop space addition and renovation for $40 million. The design is complete on these projects. Remember, these are the ones that were vetoed. Design is complete. These can all be bid within 30 days of funding. The classroom renovations will take a few more months to get ready. And then on slide 11, wanted to give you some more choices. I feel like the guy on TV. You know, if you buy the knives, I'll give you the blender, and then maybe here comes the coffee pot.
But wait. So,
these four additional projects, these were partially funded by you in 2008. We've got them moving well. And here, too, these can be bid within 120 days. That's at North Hennepin Technical College, at Hennepin Tech, sorry, at Brooklyn Park and Eden Prairie, at $10 million, at Worthington, Fieldhouse renovation, Southwest State in Marshall for science lab building renovation, and at St. Cloud Tech, health center renovation, $26 million. Once again, these can be bid within 120 days.
Mr. Chair. So if they could be bid within 120 days, and assuming we would give you permission in early March, April, May, could you still do construction this summer?
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, I would have to look at each one of them. Certainly the heaper can be underway because we've advanced design. We have some of these ready. Some of the other projects where design is complete, we could be underway this summer season.
Senator Stump.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I really like the chairman's approach with the HEPA approach because one of the problems that we get around is if we put most of the emphasis on the HEPA, we do not necessarily increase the tuition to pay for the local campuses share. And especially at a time when many of the campuses are actually cutting their budgets or having to cut their budgets, do you calculate in both, or is there a way to calculate in both the savings on the operating budget side from the HEPA projects like energy savings, et cetera, and the cost, the operating budget cost, if you do a new project? And I know some projects are in demand because of the enrollments and stuff, but I know there's a lot of campuses that are struggling trying to figure out how they're going to be able to cut their budget to just be able to operate. So I'm thinking that this might be a good time to really emphasize the HEPA, which is should be a cost savings, you know, especially if it's energy related or repair related in some way. Do you do that on these projects?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stump, we've always looked at our HEPA projects as being energy conservation intensive. Whether it's a roof replacement that provides more insulation or replacement of an old boiler or other mechanical systems, we know they save money. I think last year I estimated at $110 million HEPA list that we were saving well in the neighborhood of $1 million a year in operating costs. So you could have that this year and say that was $500,000 in savings related to simply a $50 million request. On the other side of the coin, that yes, these new projects, where we assume one-third of the debt service, puts an additional financial burden onto the colleges and universities. These particular projects, because they've been approved, the debt service portion has been budgeted in the out years, in the current years and into the out years. So the schools are aware of what that burden is, but nevertheless, it is an additional burden at this particular time. And we could calculate that and have calculated it on a specific project-by-project, school-by-school basis.
And just to clarify, Mr. Chairman, does the total one-third fall back on the individual campus, or is a portion of that one-third go back to the campus and another, and the system picks up part of it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stumpf, the campus with the project picks up one-sixth of the debt service, one-half of the one-third. And the system office picks up the other one-sixth and, of course, then spreads that around the system office.
So, Mr. Chairman, if not, none of the new projects were put into place, would the system hold tuition down or reduce tuition? Because you said you had it already calculated in.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stumpf, I don't know the answer to that question. I would respond, though, by saying that it would be an expense that would not be there, and so I think that would be calculated in the overall budget-making process to see what the end result would be.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's a really good idea to do a HEPR bill this year because we still are spending money from last year's bonding bill on HEPR projects. But if anyone thinks that this recession is going to be over with in a year, you know, they have their head in the sand. So the fact that some of these projects will be let this summer, it doesn't really matter. We have a lot of projects that are ongoing, but we need them also to be continuing into 2010.
Now, we do have to move on now, so thank you.
Chairman, just one question. We heard
Commissioner Hansen yesterday on the stimulus program and how it affects different areas, and there's a big number of money for higher ed. Folks from Minsk U and the university in regards to are you out? I mean, the stimulus monies, they want it out in 120 days, you know, real fast. I guess I'm just not comfortable yet with you folks doing what you're supposed to be doing, and maybe you're doing more than I know with your congressional people.
Doing those kinds of things. Money's going to go somewhere. And is Minnesota in general doing enough in higher ed to get those dollars? Does that make sense?
Mr. Chair.
Makes sense to me, you know. And I hope it makes sense to you that we're doing all we can be doing as a state higher ed folks to stimulate and to receive our share of that money.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metz, we've been working with with some national higher ed groups in Washington, D.C., and lobbying ever since this stimulus bill first hit the streets months ago. It was a lot easier to predict when we only were dealing with a House of Representatives bill and then a Senate bill at the federal level because it was clear what the higher ed portion was and how it would come down to the states. As Vice President O'Brien from the U said, Mr. Fitzenreiter, it's not very clear right now how that money will come down. It'll come to the states, and it'll be in a conglomeration of facilities money that could be spent on K-12 as well as higher ed. It's not quite clear how that ultimately would be allocated through the state.
Chairman, I just didn't hear enough discussion in the last half an hour on that stimulus stuff.
Okay, I think believe there's eight different departments now that will be testifying on asset preservation. We've got to be out of here at 12:45, so probably about 5 minutes apiece. First is Department of Natural Resources, Bob Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a one-page handout here for the committee. And I will be brief, Mr. Chair, members. Thank you for the record. Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. And I was asked to come here today to talk about our asset preservation needs and the form. The one-page handout I have, it actually talks about our statistics for FY 2009. We are not, we have not been requested to prepare a capital budget document by the Department of Finance yet. We work through the executive branch. You all understand that. So the information I have here before you is just the summary of our needs, where we're at, and just so you can understand the total capital iceberg, if you want to look at that, that the DNR does try to maintain. We did receive a $1 million appropriation in last year's bonding bill for capital asset preservation. We're working through a variety of projects on buildings and facility infrastructure to spend that money over the next 2 years, focusing on health and safety issues first and foremost, and then working on down the list that we have. So we try to spend that money wisely as needed over the two-year cycle as those dollars are available. The sheet before you identifies what we track as actual asset preservation under statute 16B.307. Part of it is buildings, and part of it is facility infrastructure. And it's important to remember that the facility infrastructure on the site renovations, they have to be tied to support building use. So the dollars I'm talking about here, especially on the bottom there, parking lots and roads, that's not for like a wildlife management area parking lot. That would be for a building parking lot that's associated with an actual facility, a state park visitor center, for example, a DNR facility-related office, those types of things. They're capital improvements tied to actual building infrastructure. You can see that we, under buildings, we've identified a $25 million need that we're working on actively daily to address those needs. The DNR is over almost 2,700 buildings with approximately $360 million replacement value. About one half of those buildings support public recreation and parks, with the balance supporting our field locations throughout the state. The asset renewal, as I mentioned, for these buildings and these assets is about $25 million, with work needed in the following areas: roofing, 1,100 roofs that need to be worked on or maintained. Plumbing, we've identified plumbing and heating issues in 982 buildings. Electrical repair and upgrades in 1,100 buildings, and structural upgrades in 830 buildings. These are the types of activities that could be on the ground almost immediately. They don't need any pre-design, any design. It would be letting a bid, finding a contractor to do the roofing, to do the window replacement, do the plumbing, electrical work, things of that nature. But we do work on these issues on a daily basis throughout the year, throughout the biennium with the funds that we do receive. And I can provide a list if the committee would so desire on that. The other side of the facility infrastructure that we talk about is asset preservation funds to repair or replace utility infrastructure and those site renovations to support building use. For example, many of our state parks have bathhouses, water, shower facilities, bathrooms. Those go into a septic system. We need to maintain those septic and sewer systems, much like any local unit of government would. So we have an infrastructure out there of sewer and water and septic systems that we need to maintain, along with that water lines, wells, and water treatment systems, and also the parking lots and roads that I mentioned that are tied to those facilities. We do have great needs, but we do address them strategically with the monies that are available to us and are appropriated through the executive and legislative process.
Thank you. Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Myers, I was looking at the line item with the structural upgrades that are needed in 830 buildings. Given that, my presumption is that a structural upgrade is something fairly serious for a building. Are there any assets in the DNR in this category that maybe should not be preserved?
Mr. Chair, Senator Chaudhry, as I mentioned in the beginning, we look at our asset preservation with health and safety issues first and foremost. So where there is a structural upgrade, a structure that may be dilapidated beyond repair, we won't upgrade that facility. We've talked about some of our offices in areas such as Glendalough, Appleton, that don't make sense to repair, where we've actually built new ones. So we do address those needs on a case-by-case basis with health and safety, life and safety first and foremost. So You're absolutely right, Senator Chaudhry. There are instances where we don't want to repair something. We would rather tear it down and rebuild or relocate, and that's what we're actively doing department-wide.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Minnesota Zoo.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members. I have a handout as well, if I could ask Paige to pick it up. I'm Lee Emke. I'm the executive director of the zoo, and with me is Peg Adelman, the zoo's CFO. It's interesting hearing the conversation about campuses and campus renewal, because the zoo is in many ways a large campus. We have a 485-acre site, many, many buildings, obviously roadways, paths, exhibits, utility systems, and the like. So our assets are varied and challenging as well. We are, again, a little-known fact, we're the largest environmental education center in the state of Minnesota by the numbers, if you look at the numbers of visitors we serve. And the good news is that the last few years we've seen a very steady increase in attendance. Last fiscal year, 1.16 million. This year it looks like it's going to exceed 1.2 million. And that's the good news. The bad news is that those additional visitors add to the wear and tear on our facility, which is now past that magic 30-year mark that we heard discussed earlier. Most of the original zoo buildings, grounds, utilities, and the like are now over 30 years old. And we've developed a running list of close to $30 million worth of asset preservation needs at the zoo. What's being passed out and presented to you today is our priority list within that $30 million of $10 million worth of projects, asset preservation projects, running the gamut from roof repair to repairing the bison holding corrals at the zoo. Within this $10 million request, at least $5 million is absolutely shovel-ready. We could go to bid this spring and have construction going on this summer on those projects. The remaining $5 million of the request could also be put out to bid within a matter of months. There's some initial design work, but essentially we know what needs to happen, and all of this work is available for work as soon as funding is approved.
Okay, any questions of the committee?
Is that right? That's interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Department of Administration.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Nikki Gincola from the Department of Administration, Assistant Commissioner. I have with me Wayne Wozlowski, our Director of Real Estate and Construction Services. The Department of Administration is not anticipating making any request for asset preservation in the 09 session. But I thought what I would do is review current appropriations with you today. A total of $105 million in 2008 was appropriated to administration for capital projects. Between the capital bonding bill and the transportation bill, a total of $37.3 million went to admin, and another $68 million was appropriated from other committees on behalf of other agencies to the Department of Administration for project management oversight. Just as a little bit of background, the Department of Administration manages the 21 buildings that are here on the Capitol complex. It's approximately 4.3 million square feet. And in addition, our Real Estate and Construction Services Division manages the construction projects on behalf of most of the other state agencies, with the exception of, I think it's DNR, DOT, and Military Affairs. So that just gives you kind of a broad overview of what we do. In 2008, we did get $3.4 million in CAPRA. CAPRA is the Capital Asset Preservation and Replacement Account. It is a source of funding that provides rapid financial assistance to all agencies for emergencies and unanticipated hazardous material abatement needs. It helps keep agency funds available for ongoing operations, and it also helps mitigate further damage when these emergencies occur. We have a small amount of money left in the fiscal year 05 appropriation, about $200,000 in the fiscal year 06 appropriation, and the entire $3.4 million yet from the fiscal year 08 appropriation. So in, the balance in the CAPR account is approximately $3.6 million right now. Of the facilities managed by admin, I would say that the Capitol building is the building that is in most need of attention. In 2008, we received an appropriation in capital investment of $13.4 million to preserve the Capitol, and work is underway. And if you have any questions about that, that's why I have Wayne here. He can speak to that. As I mentioned, in terms of asset preservation, although we did not receive an appropriation in 08, we did receive $2.5 million in 05. All of that money was spent at the Veterans Building on that renovation. In 06, we received a total of $5 million, and that was spent in a combination of projects on the admin building, History Center, and a number of others. In the 08 bonding bill, administration received a total of $15.7 million. $2.3 million was for property acquisition of the property at 639 Jackson. It's the Central Park United Methodist Church. That process is underway, and we did receive, again, the $13.4 million for capital preservation. So that was a quick overview of where we're at in terms of our capital appropriations and asset preservation.
Since the governor is not proposing a bonding bill at this time, departments and agencies aren't coming in with requests. But what we did was looked at last year's bill, figured out what their request was, how much we funded, and how much was left of that request. And we're thinking along those lines. So I understand the situation the departments are in, but we've been communicating with them and, in spite of problems.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe we could ask that question then. What part of your request was not funded last year? Other than the whole capital.
The capital, that's the one that comes to mind, yeah.
That was only, what, $400 million?
Yeah. Okay, CAPRA, that's the emergency fund, but there was $3 million you didn't get there, I believe, that you requested.
Mr. Chair, that is correct. We started off with a request of $6 million. I can't remember what it went down to. It was at zero at one point, and then in the supplemental bonding bill, we did get $3.4 million, and that is still available for agencies.
It's more than an area of $3 million, I think.
So, Mr. Chairman, perhaps we could ask what the status of the CAPRA fund is now in terms of what money is available in it?
Sure, Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund. The total amount available in the CAPRA account right now is $3.665 million. It's the entire fiscal year 08 appropriation is available, and then a small amount of the fiscal year 06 appropriations, and then a very small portion of 05.
Well, do you have plans to spend that amount?
Mr. Chair, the Capital Asset Preservation and Replacement Account is, again, that funding source that's set aside. It's managed by administration, available to all state agencies, but it is for emergencies and hazardous material abatements. So the projects that would use this money are unknown at this time. It's to preserve agency operating funds for ongoing operations, as well as a rapid source of financial assistance should they run into an emergency, and this is to help them mitigate further and additional damage. So there aren't specific projects lined up for CAPRA.
But no, the $3.6 million, do you think that would take you till next year's bonding bill?
Mr. Chair, it's hard to tell. We've already had a request from the DNR, a recent one. It was for a structural issue. In the past, we have spent this money on anything from flood to a project running into an asbestos abatement unknown as part of a project. We've helped them with that. We have any number of projects. They are outlined in our once-a-year legislative report that goes in, and many agencies have had access to this money, from the Purpich Center to Corrections to DNR administration.
Okay, any Senator Pappas?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and is Giancola?
Giancola.
This is Giancola. You don't have, like, a backlog of asset preservation issues at all, like, for any of the buildings that you manage in the state?
Mr. Chair and Senator Pappas, we do. We have deferred maintenance. A year ago, it was in the neighborhood of $190 million. That included about $100 million identified specifically to the capital's deferred maintenance needs. But for each of the 21 buildings that we manage, we do have a deferred maintenance amount, and that's roofs, structural, HVAC, all those things.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that I think all those would be good candidates for shovel-ready projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, you'll have military affairs.
Chair Langseth, committee members, staff, Terry Palmer, Department of Military Affairs. I'm the comptroller. Thank you for asking for our testimony about the asset preservation. The DMA also has not requested any asset preservation money for this year in the capital budget. In military affairs, asset preservation is used to reduce the backlog of maintenance at our facilities. Or generally speaking, it's the armories that are located around the state. We own 62. We're currently leasing one facility, so... But of those 62 facilities, we have a backlog of over $20 million, and that, of course, fluctuates. We use asset preservation to reduce the amount of backlog, but then the age of the facilities also plays into the backlog of maintenance, because as those roofs hit that 20-year mark or the windows hit their useful life, we try to replace those along with the HVAC systems. And our average age of our facilities is 43 years old, and 56% of them are over 40 years old. So you can see we have an aging group of facilities. Our 2008 request in asset preservation was $7 million. The governor recommended $5.5 million, and we were appropriated $3.5 million. Of that money, 74% has already been committed for projects around the state. I think Senator Metzen also asked about the federal stimulus package. The Minnesota Army and Air National Guard staff have all been in constant contact with both the federal delegation and with National Guard Bureau about federal stimulus funding.
Goodness.
Whoops.
It's all on TV.
The National Guard reports the status of its facilities through a federal installation status report that the military people fill out. It has to do with the suitability of the building for its intended purpose and its current condition. So we are always reporting to the federal government what the status of the buildings are. And the National Guard on the Army side has identified about $19.4 million in projects that they think meet the criteria for the federal stimulus money. Unfortunately, that'll all go through Department of Defense, work its way through Department of Army, and then down through National Guard Bureau. And we just don't know currently what the status of that funding is, but if it comes in the way we think it might, they're currently looking for about a $2.9 million match of state money to receive about $10 million in federal money. We don't know that yet. The states are all pushing back, frankly, because they're all in the same boat. They want the federal stimulus money, but they don't have the state funding to acquire it. So we're hoping that the federal government will relax its rules relative to that. But that project set is slightly different from our backlog, because what that tends to do or attempts to correct is some of those facility shortfalls that we recognized. Like, for instance, when the armories are used for emergency shelters, we have no backup power or backup heating systems in a lot of the outstate locations, where the likelihood of them being needed would be much greater than in the metro area, of course. So we're trying to correct some of those deficiencies with that federal stimulus money. But subject to your question, Senator, that concludes my testimony.
Okay. Any questions of the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Palmer, if you were to get $10 million in federal stimulus money, and you said we would need to contribute about 2.9%, $2.9 million. Could that be bonded dollars, or does that have to be cash?
I believe it could be bonded dollars. And again, we don't know if we're going to have to provide that match, but that's what we're hearing currently, and that can change, Senator Roebling.
We're going to have a little better handle on that federal before we move with a bill, because the two could be kind of entwined to a certain extent. Thank you. And the Department of Veterans Affairs. Department of Human Services. just a minute.
Chairman, first of all, I'd like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to come forward and talk about some of our asset preservation type projects at the Department of Human Services facilities. Second, I'd like to just provide a little background.
Could you identify yourself?
I'm sorry. My name is Alan Van Buskirk. I'm a facilities manager for State Operated Services, and with me is Bill Olson, physical plant operations manager for the St. Peter's Regional Treatment Center. Excuse me. Secondly, I'd like to provide just a little background information about to the committee about our facilities. The Department of Human Services operates two separate divisions that utilize state-owned facilities for their programs: state-operated services and the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. State-operated services currently operates four campus-based facilities: the Anoka Metro Regional Treatment Center, Brainerd Regional Human Services Center campus, the Minnesota Extended Treatment Options Program in Cambridge, and the Minnesota Security Hospital in St. Peter. State Operated Services also operates the Minnesota State Operated Community Services Program, a community-based program for developmentally disabled persons. The state owns 55 homes used for this program and leases nearly 100 other homes for this program from the private vendors. Minnesota, or MSOC, also operates a number of work program centers for the DD population. These facilities are all leased for private vendors. In addition, state-operated services leases facilities for its community behavioral health hospitals and community addiction recovery enterprise programs. With the exception of damage to these facilities, basic building maintenance and improvements are covered by the lease and are the responsibility of the lessor. The Minnesota Sex Offender Program operates the Minnesota Sex Offender Program facility at Moose Lake and two buildings on the St. Peter campus. In addition, the MSOP is currently finishing the construction of the first phase of a two-phase project designed to expand the bed capacity at the Moose Lake facility by 800 beds. The handout that we're providing is a preliminary project list. The department's preliminary project list categorizes known physical plant deficiencies or proposed improvements into four major categories: asset preservation projects, roof repair and replacement projects, energy-related projects, and safety and security projects. The objective of this project list is to identify known physical plant deficiencies, establish preliminary cost estimates, recommend funding sources, set priority, and to track the status of each individual project as it's implemented. The total estimated cost of all the projects outlined by the facilities is estimated to exceed $36 million. Funding to address these type of projects is made available, as you know, through capital appropriations, operating budgets, energy saving programs, and under certain conditions from an allocation of CAPR funds from the Department of Administration. Our goal is to preserve and improve existing physical plant assets by addressing critical repair, replacement, and renewal needs specific to the physical plants of each DHS facility. The project list represents a system-wide assessment of safety and security hazards and deficiencies, code compliance issues, mechanical, electrical, and structural deficiencies, energy-related projects, and roof repair and replacement projects. A majority of the projects on the list meet the requirements of asset preservation as outlined by Minnesota Statute 16B307, Asset Preservation Appropriations. At this point, I'd like to ask Bill just to give you an overview of a new issue that we're addressing that came about as a new code came into place.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. This year we're required to focus on a new issue, which for us is fairly significant, and that's elevators. The facility project list identified the need for the department to replace or upgrade 21 elevators at four of our campuses. The National Elevator Safety Code has a new provision that requires single bottom jacks to be replaced with double bottom cylinders. It's a fairly high technical piece here that I'll explain in a little bit. This new provision will require us to replace or upgrade a majority of our facility's elevators. The jack of a typical hydraulic elevator is installed in the ground beneath the elevator car where it's exposed to the risk of corrosion and electrolysis. These jacks may leak oil, contaminating the environment and endangering passengers. This work, as required by code, must be completed by 2011. If the elevators with the single bottom jacks or those cylinders are not repaired or replaced, they will be red tagged and taken out of service. One of the concerns we have is there's going to be a high demand for this type of work, not just within the state, but throughout the, not just state facilities, but throughout the state and all elevators. And there's a concern as to whether or not the supply and demand will be able to be met. So the new code compliance issues has required us to reprioritize our projects to be able to implement and to direct as much of our available funding towards upgrading these elevators. The preliminary cost estimate for the estimate for the 21 elevators that we need to address exceeds $3 million. So accordingly, any additional funding appropriate for asset preservation in 2009 will assist us in the replacement and upgrade of these elevators. This is a fairly quick process, too. The elevator manufacturers out there know pretty much what needs to go into these elevators and how that gets taken care of. So the bid process and getting this on the street would be fairly quick, too. So this is just, again, any assistance would be greatly appreciated to help us complete these projects that are needed to preserve and maintain safe, secure, and efficient physical plant facilities. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Any questions? Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Van Bursick, you said that in your presentation that there were some projects that if they were funded would reduce your operating costs. Is it possible for you to identify those, and is it possible for you to identify the correlating operating cost reductions that would be possible?
You're asking me to do that at a later time, but or now.
Right. Deadly serious question, Mr. Chairman, since we have to find $1.5 billion reductions in the Health and Human Services budget, if some of it can be done by making your operations more efficient, certainly we should be making those investments because it will help our economy in two ways. One, balancing the budget, and two, with whatever jobs it would provide.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, we can provide that information. I don't have it at my fingertips at this point in time, but we do understand which projects provide savings to the operating budget, and we can put that together and provide some type of range of what that savings is to share with you.
Mr. Chairman, I have one other issue to bring up, and that is the second phase of the sex offender program construction. That was requested by the department, I know, for the last bonding cycle, and it was not included in the recommendations of the governor, and therefore it was not included in the bonding bill that the legislature put together. But as a result of not doing that project, we have higher operating costs at that facility also. And that facility, of course, grows by 80 to 90 residents per year. So is there any thought, and how quickly would you be able to enter into the construction contract for the second phase of the sex offender construction project?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I guess that would, part of the answer would depend on how much of the funding that that we received. If we received the entire request, I think we could have the project in the starting sometime midsummer. If we receive only partial funding, they're going to have to take a little bit more time to revise the drawings to bid the lesser amount. So that'd probably be bid in early fall to start construction before the snow flies.
Mr. Chairman, can you just remind us of what the full cost of that project would be?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, members of the committee, the approximate cost of that, the estimated cost of that project to finish is approximately $96 million.
Thank you very much.
Senator Roland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on to Senator Berglund's comments, I do see that you have broken down in many of the facilities' energy-related projects. But then, for example, in safety and security, some of them have, for example, improvements or expansions of additional cameras for surveillance. And I'm thinking, you know, if any of that would save staff, that would be another potential savings if they could use cameras for more monitoring instead of having people in certain locations and places. And you know, I would encourage you to look for those kinds of opportunities for projects that would save operating costs. And I think there may be several of them as I flip through there here with my reading glasses on because the type is very small.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, we will look at those ideas too. That is part of the purpose of adding cameras. But in some cases, adding cameras is not going to save staffing. It's just going to make it more efficient. You can have 10 cameras and only one person looking at it. You still need to have that one person looking. In some cases, you will save. In some cases, you won't.
So, Mr. Chairman, just a closing comment, and that is whatever on their list that would reduce their operating costs, including the large sex offender request. I would ask you to look favorably at that because our budget needs as much help on the operating side as we can get.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Veterans Affairs.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Gilbert Acevedo, Deputy Commissioner for Veterans Health Care. I'm here to present some ideas of asset preservation. The department does not have a formal request in for asset preservation. We have five veterans homes in the state. We have one located in Minneapolis, Hastings, Silver Bay, Laverne, and Fergus Falls. The handout that I have, the first item that I have on here is for Hastings Veterans Home. The Hastings facility, the buildings are over 30 years old. It was a former state hospital. Currently, we have a 200-bed domiciliary, which is a boarding care facility for our veterans. Currently, we're conducting patchwork on three buildings in particular, roofs that are leaking. And we're trying to maintain as best we can with those roofs. So this one request is for replacement, roof replacement for the Hastings Veterans Home. The total cost is approximately $350,000 to replace all three roofs. The second item that I have is asset preservation request for Minneapolis Building 4. The Minneapolis campus was built in the 1800s, 1887, and a lot of the buildings are very old, but they're of historical value. And so any work that we do, we have to work through the Historical Society to make any corrections or improvements to the buildings itself. Building 4 was approved by the bonding committee for a renovation to turn that building into an adult day health program. The building was originally designed as a cottage for veterans. We are in the process of working through getting the design and starting the work to identify that building as an adult day health. Unfortunately, at the time that the bonding was approved, the HVAC and waterproofing of the building was not part of that or would not be included in that. So this request would be an approximately $600,000 for replacement of a HVAC and waterproofing of the building's foundation. And finally, this is not necessarily a request of monetary, since we don't have an exact amount at this time. There are two bills, I understand, at this point, one in the House, one in the Senate, asking the homes to become Medicare certified. And as part of becoming Medicare certified, life safety standards at the federal level need to be upheld. We have not conducted a feasibility study at this time to know exactly what needs to be done, but that needs to be conducted at some point. And once we know that, we will have an amount for upgrades of various buildings, things such as elevators, sprinkler heads, those type of things that are life safety. With that, I will entertain any questions.
Senator Bergman.
Mr. Chairman and Deputy Commissioner, when will you have that inventory completed, the Medicare certification?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, we haven't started yet. We need to put that out as a contract, so we have to go through the normal contracting process.
Okay, thank you. Department of Corrections.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is David Christ. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for Facilities Services with the Department of Corrections. The DOC hasn't requested a capital investment funding this year either. We operate 10 facilities that some are as old as the 1880s. We have an estimated capital or an estimated long-term asset preservation iceberg of around $197 million, which we passed out today. However, there are 47 projects that we have identified that could go into design phase and be up and running by this summer. To summarize those, there's 22 roofs that need to be replaced. There's four plumbing projects. There's five security-related projects in there. There's three projects relating to tuck pointing, fascia, parapets on our buildings. And there are five projects that have to do with HVAC, steam lines, or control. Those projects total about $11.5 million. Those projects are not necessarily found on the long-term asset preservation list that we distributed because we are attempting to fund some of those through the asset preservation money we received in the last session and operating funds. So
I guess we were about $10 million short of your request last time, if I remember right.
Yeah, good.
Okay, any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Historical Society. You've got 4 minutes. And 20 seconds.
Mr. Chairman, I'm David Kelleher from the Minnesota Historical Society. Thank you for the opportunity to say a few words about the asset preservation needs that the Historical Society has. As you know, we operate a network of historic sites that are outlined in statute. Those sites, there are 26 of them open to the public. And those sites contain about 125 buildings, most of which are over 100 years old and therefore need some special care. You have a memo in your packet that outlines some of the most urgent needs that are shovel-ready, ready to roll soon this year. And we're passing around some pictures of a couple of those. I believe that you have visited both of the sites that are part of that, the Hill House, the Walnut Street wall, which is on the hillside overlooking 35E, needs some serious masonry work. And when you were visiting last year, the neighbor's wall had fallen down, and our wall needs repair as well. There are a couple of pictures of that wall and some detail work of the masonry work that needs repair. At historic Fort Snelling, there's an ongoing need for masonry repair and window replacement at the historic fort. And then across the historic site system, historic buildings and more modern buildings need roof replacement. So there are three that total $1.298 million. I also put on the memo, Senator Pappas observed that we will be back here in 2010. We certainly will, and to the extent that we can get design work going to have the projects that are in the 2010 request ready to roll, we'll be able to move forward with construction all the more quickly. So that's on the list as well. And then finally, the second page of the memo is a list of the projects that we anticipate requesting in 2010. Those are preliminary estimates at this point. We'll be working on a process of refining those numbers through the spring and into the summer, and hopefully you all will have an opportunity to visit some of those sites in your tours in the summer and fall of this year. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions about the memo.
Senator Pappas.
Kelleher, did you get money in 2008 asset preservation or 2007?
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, yes, we did. And we're working through that list at this point. We'll have a large number of projects going out for bid this spring. We worked on the design work through the spring and summer of last year. Some of the historic buildings need a little more design work than the average building because of the specialized work that is done on those.
Again, Mr. Chairman, it's good that we passed that authorization last year because the spending is
Any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Just a quick one. I don't want to push him over his limit, but I was just noticing that future requests would be the James J. House retaining wall and then interior restoration comes up to $1.448 million. And we haven't even talked about exterior renovation. I don't know if that's been done lately. But how much does a building like that cost us to keep? I mean, that's a lot. I don't know what the value of the building is, but it's a lot of money for preservation.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, good questions. The 2008 bonding bill in the asset preservation category did include some money for exterior restoration of the building. And I don't know if you were on the tour. There were some serious needs on the terraces and exteriors, including windows. With this series, I don't want to say we're done because that house is 40,000 square feet. It's a huge house. So there will always be some needs, but we'll be through this phase of doing restoration of the house on the inside, which, again, it's a very large house. It's just over 100 years old and is getting to that point where it needs some ongoing work.
I have suggested that it would be a lodging for rural legislators. I don't think they took me seriously.
That's a great idea.
Mr. Chair.
We could save. I mean,
for that kind of money.
Mr. Chair, the Hill House does not have air conditioning in all of it, so you would need to make sure you finished up before it got really warm in June and July.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's enough bathrooms either.
Rural guys don't go to the bathroom very often.
But the girls do.
Okay. Okay. Anybody who's got any suggestions, my office door is open, so come on and we'll talk it over. Okay, thank you. Meeting adjourned. Yeah.